Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
I want to be a lifetime
Cheesehead
Green Bay Packer.
You're looking good today.
Look out there, what's that ass?
Aaron Rodgers is the best football player I've ever seen, ever.
Aaron Rodgers goes deep on second and two. He's got to leap in Devontae Adams.
He's a man.
Daniels again. Let's make no mistake about it. This game is won and lost so quick.
Hey, let's go. Dominate on three. 1, 2, 3. Dominate.
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. We are back for another edition of Cheesehead Radio. We are a twosome tonight. Missing is CD, who couldn't be with us tonight. He is busy giving his cat a bath. So tonight you have that Packer girl, Kelly Hodgson, and little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. Our board operator back room tonight is Jason Perrone. If he behaves, we may untie him at some point and let him say a few words. Sponsoring the Packers Talk Network once again are our good friends at Ticket King. They've been selling Packers, Badgers, and other tickets in Wisconsin for over 25 years and have earned a reputation for excellent customer service and prices. Be sure to check out their website, theticketking.com. That takes care of the formalities. Let's get this show on the road.
Who moves my team?
Okay, Who Moved My Cheese is our segment where we talk about good cheese, so-so cheese, and bad cheese as it pertains to Packers topics. And we always start out with our sharp cheddar, which is our excellent crowd-pleasing favorite. Kelly, who is your sharp cheddar tonight?
All right, my sharp cheddar is MBS. We have a bona fide second receiver now. He doesn't play like a rookie. He doesn't act like a rookie. Rodgers doesn't trust him like he's a rookie. He actually trusts him like he's been on the team for a long time. Did Cobb even play in the game? Because he was a non-factor. And where Cobb kind of vanished into the woodwork, MBS really shined. Man, I love my baby wide receivers.
Okay, my sharp cheddar is Aaron Jones. Good things continue to happen when he touches the ball. Next up, we have our Swiss cheese. Good.
Hello?
Kelly?
Oh, I blanked out. Sorry, I lost the connection for a second. Hey, my Swiss cheese is actually Aaron Rodgers. He had some flashes of brilliance and showed that he was the Rodgers of yesteryear, but he never seemed to find the open man at other times. He threw at receivers' feet. Something was definitely off.
All righty, and my Swiss cheese is Tremont Williams. Overall, pretty good job, some good plays, a few not-so-good plays, but considering his first game at safety in several years, not bad at all. At least he plays with heart. Unlike the guy he replaced who got benched. And finally, our Limburger cheese, foul smelling, throw it away. Kelly, who is your Limburger cheese?
Jermaine, don't lose your head, Whitehead. I don't care if it was a love tap. The second guy to throw a hit is always the one penalized, and in this case, the one that gets thrown out.
And my Limburger cheese this week is Nick Perry, the ha-ha Clinton Dix of the linebacker core. Unfortunately, he's untradeable, a waste of a roster spot, and we can't cut him without taking an $11 million dead money cap hit. We are stuck with that Limburger cheese.
We have a lot more great Packer talk coming up for you tonight on Cheesehead Radio, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
The Playbook.
All right, and this is where we tackle the topics of the week, Packers related. Kelly, you want to start out with the first one?
Okay, I'm going to start by asking you a question, Al. Last night seemed to be the it was the parade of injuries. For, you know, it was first it was Bulaga, and then it was Kevin King. So, pretty important people on both sides of the ball. Do you think that each of their respective injuries really were harmful? Did the team take a blow in each case, and how so? What do you think, Al? Hello? No. Lauren, quiet. Am I back in? Hello?
Hey, Kelly, it's Chase. Al is trying to call back in, I hope. Is anybody back?
I am back. I got dropped, so I'm just calling in on a line this time.
Oh, not a problem. Okay, you're back. Al is trying to reconnect. So
oh, we
hopefully
both got
he will
out.
Be back. Hopefully he'll be back. That must have been one heck of a stumper question. He's been trying to call back two or three times. I think he's just trying to buy time to give you a good answer.
Oh my God! It's like okay, it's not just my internet; it's everybody's connections. I just called into my cell phone instead.
Can you not hear me?
Yeah, I got kicked out. Did you get kicked out?
Yes. Can you hear me now, though?
Yeah, I've just decided I'm calling into my cell phone. I'm going to do. Little subpar sound, but it'll be at least a more consistent connection, hopefully, unless it's
okay.
Blog Talk Radio that's acting up.
Well, I gave this whole long answer to your question. I don't know what was heard and what wasn't.
I heard none of it. As soon as I asked the question, poof, gone.
All right. So we should probably start over then. And I'll give my answer to your question, which was the absence of Bulaga and King going out injured. How did they or did they at all affect the respective units? So my answer was, as far as Bulaga goes, it definitely had a large effect on the offensive line. Jason Spriggs came in and was Jason Spriggs, which meant that there was a lot of pressure given up from the right side of the line between him and Bell. And in fact, there were a total of 19 pressures on Rodgers during the game, which is a high for this year. So that was a definite effect. Kevin King, really not so much. I mean, Josh Jackson came in and did a pretty decent job. He was credited with two pass breakups. The couple of times where maybe he looked a little confused, you know, I think the game – and the mental part of it still isn't quite there yet for him, but he certainly has the physical ability and talent. So I don't think that hurt as much as Bulaga did.
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree with you. I think it was absolutely frustrating that Spritz, when he came in, the line seemed to just fall apart at times. He really seems outmatched every time he's on the field, and he never quite seems to know where he is in time and space. And that's been my biggest criticism of him since his rookie year. I don't know. How many seasons are we going to have to put up with him of him being the, well, he's a warm body, he's the best thing we have. When do we start looking at upgrading? Because he's really a liability. You know, one bad play, and Rodgers could be looking at another broken clavicle. Yeah, I don't know what to do. And I know we are so anemic when it comes to backup on the offensive line, but why is that a problem year after year if we know that Spriggs is not an upgrade on a Marshall Newhouse, he's not an upgrade on a Derek Sherrod, and he really doesn't ever seem like he's ready for prime time. So,
yeah, I mean when Ted was still here, you could see them, you know, really wanting to hold on to Spriggs because they had put in quite an investment in him with a second-round pick and trading up to take him in the second round. When Goody came along, I figured, well, they'll give him 1 year and see how it plays out, and I'd have to think that next year they'll be drafting an offensive tackle somewhere up close.
I would hope so. I would really hope so, because I think, you know, two seasons in, he's kind of a bust.
Yeah, I mean, we did draft the Cole Madison, who was supposed to be a swing tackle guard, but of course he's never played a snap with whatever the mysterious personal issue is that he's dealing with. So
yeah,
that
I don't
didn't
know.
Help either.
Yeah, so hopefully that's one area we address in the draft. And then there's King, and I was worried that he came out. But you're right. I think the secondaries really did step up. And now we're going to hit on that in a little bit when it comes to the improvement of the defense. But again, Jair Alexander had a great game again. He rarely gets torched. He really has this awareness that's just fantastic.
Yeah. He didn't have the flash plays that he had last week, which was really an incredible game that he played against the Rams. But he also didn't get hurt. You know, he didn't hurt the Packers. He was where he should be. So, again, a very, very solid game from Alexander.
He wasn't slapping people in the face and getting thrown out.
Oh, you had to go there.
I have to go there.
You had to
Well, you know, you learn as a kid early on, second kid to throw a punch is the one that's going to get thrown out of the game. That's kind of how the rules always have been. You know, with my kids, second kid that throws the punches, they're usually the one that gets in trouble, you know, because I didn't see the first one. But
always,
you know, how did you not you get this far in football and not know that?
Yeah. All right, let's move on to topic number two. This one should be interesting. McCarthy versus. What do you have to say, Kelly?
I think it's a little bit like Thunderdome. I mean, like two coaches entered, one emerged victorious. And quite frankly, I think McCarthy got out-coached last night. And part of it is he doesn't really adjust. He thinks that his schemes will work for any team. Whereas Belichick really came prepared. And I'm a little frustrated, and I don't know how much of an impact it really was, but just the optics of it was I hate it. You know, midweek, they announced, oh, by the way, Tremont Williams is going to be playing safety. Well, then, you know, Belichick is, you know, the spy master extraordinaire. You know that they were scheming for how to exploit Tremont Williams in the safety position. Granted, it probably didn't make a huge difference, but Al, don't you think that maybe the element of surprise might have been used to our advantage? But no, we have to announce, like, oh, by the way, on first down, we're going to run a run play.
I tweeted that out immediately, like, what is the possible purpose of announcing that? I mean, they didn't announce it. Tremont said it in an interview, but obviously they pretty much control or try to control what the players say. But why make that public? Why not use that as even if it's just a minuscule advantage, every advantage you can come up with is going to help. So, yeah, I was very confused by that. And you mentioned.
Go ahead.
Well, you mentioned before early on adjustments, right? Well, everybody says McCarthy doesn't make adjustments. Everybody says Belichick is the best at making adjustments. Well, there was never more evidence than that last night, right? And even Rodgers, who I love his post-game interviews, because he always gives you little tidbits that without coming out and saying it directly, but you know what he was referring to. You know, so someone asked him about the game. He says, "Yeah, you know, we had the offense going at one point, but then they made adjustments and they were very good at that. And he hesitates, and I could just feel him wanting to say, but we didn't make any adjustments to counter that." But he didn't, you know, he stopped there and went on to something else. But you could just tell what he was thinking.
But he didn't have to say it. We all knew.
Yeah. But it's just funny. It's kind of like confirmation that what we're thinking and seeing is correct. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And it was so apparent this last game, to the point where I walked into work and my office mate looks at me and goes, "You totally called it. If they were starting from the end zone again, you knew they were running a running play. How did you know that?" I'm like, "Because McCarthy runs the same play on first down every time." He's like, I thought of you. I figured you were having a stroke last night. I'm like, "Yeah, I would have had a stroke, but I have a new puppy on my lap, so life was good." But the fact that he won't adjust, it's like he's still running the schemes of John Kuhn, only you've got a tight end, and I've mentioned this so many times this season. It's like he won't even adjust personnel. It's like, we're going to run this play, but we're going to pretend we have the personnel that we had 4 years ago. Absolutely no adjustments. And then when things fell apart, he still hammered the same plays. And, yeah, he got out-coached, and it was, I think, the most obvious out-coaching in a long time because, you know, the press was hyping this. You know, Rodgers versus Brady, goat against goat. You know, some of the greatest coaches of all time. You know, living up to the hype of, "Oh, I'm a very successful football coach," blah, blah, blah. Well, last night he had egg on his face. He really didn't look successful. He looked stale and predictable. And, again, when things start falling apart, he just tries to hammer the same place over and over and over again.
And that falls perfectly into, you know, I don't know if you saw the Greg Jennings interview. I posted it up on Cheesehead TV and Packers Talk.
No, I didn't see it.
Okay.
Well,
he had an interview with Rich Eisen, you know, and he's basically complaining about that very thing and how the players were frustrated, talking about when he was there with the Packers, in that McCarthy would say, you know, "We have enough plays to run a doubleheader and basically not repeat anything, but yet we still run the same plays," you know.
And it's about four or five
nothing.
Plays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
to Rodgers' credit, I saw a little more spontaneity when he was on the line. There was a little more, a little more hurried-up offense, no huddle situations. But, again, you can script out what play, if you run the play, what's going to be the next play. And
right,
I know this is coming up later, but my kingdom for a decent screen pass, why can't we do that?
You saw what the Patriots did. They saw the Packers in an alignment that they liked, you know, with two inside linebackers and not their usual nickel or dime packages. And they never gave them a chance to breathe or substitute, and they just went right down the field and said, "That's it, we're taking advantage." It was clinic. I mean, it was like a clinic, you know. And I believe that the Packers have the ability to do the same thing. I think Rodgers and the Packers are. Speaking of Rodgers, you know, he's had a season full of meh performances, I would say, for him anyway. Are we still blaming Rodgers' play on his knee? What do you think?
You know, we're several weeks away from a knee sprain, and I would think it should be healed by now. And it didn't look like he was wearing a brace last night. And he was moving a little better when he'd take off running. I'm sure it's not 100%, but I think a lot of the play, it's a lot of mental errors. And I can't blame what's going on between his ears, what's going on with his knee. And a lot of times there was somebody wide open right in front of him, and he was throwing it at the receiver's feet or throwing it out of bounds where he's really not – it's like It's like that YouTube video that's out there about the, you know, you have the three people passing balls, and you follow the ball, and you're supposed to count the ball. And a lot of times the viewer doesn't see the gorilla in the room. Well, Aaron's not seeing the gorilla in the room. And sometimes he's really blind to what's right in front of him. And, that's not on his knee.
Yeah, I got to agree completely. There's more than just physical going on there. It's almost like some confidence has been lost, if that's possible for Aaron Rodgers. But there's just something going on there.
He doesn't look content or happy. It's like 2 years ago when they were really starting to fall apart and the wheels were coming off, where he just looked miserable on the field, and he just didn't look like he was comfortable in his own skin last night. It's like something would go awry. You know, he'd miss his target, or the timing was off, or that timeout where how did you run out of time during that situation? It's like he was making mental errors that he shouldn't be making.
Yeah. And the other thing he can't do is throw a proper screen pass to save his life. I mean, this has been a problem every year of his career. I mean, the screen pass is something that is near and dear to my heart.
Hello? Hello? Oh, it just came back.
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
Yeah, that was me.
Okay.
My sound card popped out or something. Okay. So, in any case, we were talking about the screen game, right? Did you hear that part?
I just heard that, and then you blinked out.
Okay. Well, the screen game is near and dear to my heart. As I was saying, which probably nobody heard, during my illustrious high school football career, where I played offensive line and mostly left tackle, a little tight end, I was known for being a really good blocker out in the screen play. I knew how to get out there fast, and nothing pleased me more than just taking on a nice little scrawny defensive back and pancaking him. So I've kind of know a little bit about screenplay, and let me tell you two things. Number one, touched on before, Rodgers can throw a 5-yard pass or 10 or 8-yard pass to save his life to a run. It's so disjointed on these screenplays. There's no unison between them. One guy's making it down the field, the other guy isn't. One guy's letting his rusher in too soon. I mean, it's an unfathomable to me that professional coaching staff hasn't been able to teach these offensive linemen how to properly execute a screen pass. It's just a dumpster fire.
Well, looking at the variety of errors with it, I wonder if they even practice it that often at all, because it's, like you said, this is something Aaron has never mastered. You have to, because it's so sloppy. Like you said, if it's not one person screwing up, it's another. If it's not the recipient being in position, it's somebody not blocking and letting someone through fast enough. How often do they practice it? You know, is it one of these things like, oh, Aaron really suffers at it, so we're not going to try to learn it?
Right.
It's to the point where I really wonder, because it seems like they are never in sync, and it's such a bread and butter offensive play that I think on the flip side, other teams know we don't run it, so they never have to worry about it.
And seriously, Rodgers hits more feet than he does hands with those short passes. It's uncanny how many times he throws the ball at their feet.
And if he's throwing at his feet, I think he's given up already. It's like, okay, we're just going to get it in the area so we don't get sacked, and that's it.
No, but I think sometimes
it's a kill the play.
Yeah, but I think sometimes even he's not trying to kill the play. He's trying to make the pass, but it ends up at his feet. So that's what
gets me. So Is that Rogers
yeah.
not getting it in the timing right? Yeah,
I
okay.
think,
that's
I
what
think
I thought.
I think that's Rogers. Yeah, I think that's Rogers, without a doubt.
Because at that close of a distance, you don't have to stop on a dime. You know, you're gonna, if you're in the area, chances are you get a good
right.
chance of getting the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if we have an answer for that.
No, no. that one has been a problem for years now, and it's going to continue to be a problem. So we can't solve that problem tonight. But
and I know
about,
we both sat up at the same time we tweeted out something. I was like, a kingdom for a screen pass, and you were commenting about the, I think it was after that awful screen pass.
Yeah, yeah. We can't do anything about that. It's definitely not improving the screen game, but one thing that I do think is improving is our defense. I mean, it's only been 8 games under Pettin. He's still dealing with personnel, you know, that were left over from the Thompson regime, minus a few that have been jettisoned. But I think I see steady improvement. I think his draft picks on defense have been really, really good. And I have optimism. It's funny. I have on our Aaron Rodgers team, I have more optimism about where the defense is going right now than the offense. What do you think, Kelly?
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. I think we're starting to see the beginning of the cleaning of house, you know, with getting rid of Ha-Ha. And I think you hit on it earlier, the fact that he was benched early on as a Redskin really says a lot that, you know, I don't think we're going to get our fourth-round comp pick, our fourth-round pick from him, because he's going to get cut, I bet. Yeah, I've seen some flashes of promise. I still think Teron Williams is a great big placeholder now that he's playing safety. I think it's going to be imperative we draft some secondary, you know, either in the first or second round again. But I'm still very impressed with Jair Alexander. I think we'll see the end of Kentrell Bryce. I think this is one place where I think that Goody's really going to highlight the talent we have and get rid of the chaff, so to speak. I think there's a lot of promise for our secondary moving forward. Blake Martinez, I'll admit, I stopped breathing for a second when he went down with that injury. But looking to how they're going to clean house, do you think they'll get rid of Matthews and Perry or just Perry? Because honest to God, neither one has really shown up much this season.
Yeah, I mean, Perry, you can't really get rid of him without taking a big cap hit. So, unfortunately, I think we're stuck with him. Matthews, who knows? I mean, at least the guy tries. You know, he's not what he was. But I'm not as critical of him as a lot of people are, because at least he's out there. He's still trying. He's working hard. And, you know, I respect that. Whether they think that's enough to keep him or not, you know, probably not, unless they could get him real cheap. But who knows on that.
He's also a two-figure hit against the cap.
I don't think so. Isn't this his contract runs out, right? Isn't he a free agent next year?
Oh, is he? Is he? Okay.
Yeah.
I was looking about a year ago, and I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, $16 million, you know, we'll be stuck with him.
Yeah,
and maybe.
No, this is the last year of his contract, so
okay.
He'll have free agent possibilities, or the Packers could try to re-sign him. But, yeah. Pass
yeah,
rush,
I think
safety, and offensive line, those are your three keys in the draft or for. He's got to focus.
Yeah. Oh, I lost you for a second, but I think I got the gist of that one. So I forget, is Mo Wilkerson, is he just a one-year deal?
Yeah, he was a one-year
so
deal.
He's not coming back with his trashed ankle. Yeah, I'm feeling better about the defense than I was at the end of last season. I think we can only get better. I know that sounds like a big cliche, but I think we're restocking, and we're restocking with a different mindset in mind. It's not a Thompson defense. So
yeah.
I think you're going to see more aggressive players because I think, you know, I think of a Jake Ryan. He's good, but he's okay. But he's, I was never impressed with his how intense he was. He kind of reminded me of an AJ Hawk. But yeah, I think we're going to be seeing a little nastier defense in the future, not in terms of a poor play, but I'm thinking we're going to see more. Like I said last week, the secondary reminded me a lot of like the Legion of Boom at their heyday. You're seeing a lot of very, very aggressive players, and I think that's a refreshing change where I often thought that the defense was stale with the Packers.
Yeah, they're not playing soft back there like they had been. So,
the bend but not break throw me bananas. So we're not seeing that. It's like, okay, we're going to try not to lose, which is a hugely different mindset.
Now
you're seeing the defense actually attacking on a play, which instead of just waiting for the play to unfold. And I think it's only going to get better.
Yeah, it's definitely on the up, which is a positive. And I think that covers our playbook for today. So maybe time to close the playbook and move on to our Packer tweets for this week.
Packer tweets from Packer Peeps.
All right, I'll start. I found a new tweeter on the Twitter. It's at Carly Churches. She's a Packer fan. And she said, and she has a really good point. She tweeted, "The Brewers replaced their manager, and a couple seasons later, they're one game from the World Series. The Bucks replaced their head coach, and suddenly they're amazing. Want to follow suit, Packers?"
Okay.
She has a great point.
Yeah. There's certainly a trend there, right? If only it was that easy. Okay, my tweet candidate. I had sent out a tweet asking how the Packers could possibly not get a play-in on time on first down after a punt and a clock stoppage, right? So responding to that was one Samson T. Beard on Twitter who said, "To be fair, I'm sure McCarthy was expecting a penalty against the special teams and was waiting for the ref to make an announcement."
You know, there's that meme of Sheldon from Big Bang Theory that goes, "It's funny because it's true."
All right. Well,
this is
since
what
I'll
be responding to that tweet with.
Since there's only two of us tonight, we need somebody to be the tiebreaker here. So let's invite Jason into the show if he's still there and listening and hasn't jumped out the window yet. Jason, are you with us?
I'm with you. I am here.
All right. All right. Your first order of business tonight, Jason, is to decide which of these two fine tweets wins the tweet of the week.
Well, one's a really good idea. The other one's a chuckler. So you know me, I'm Mr. Humor Guy. So I got to go with the chuckler. Plus with a name like Samson T. Beard, it's hard to go any other direction. So Mr. Beard is the winner with his, "To be fair, I'm sure McCarthy was expecting a penalty" tweet.
You know, if we were actually voting.
Tweet of the week.
Okay, and that was our tweet of the week. Thank you, Jason, for picking me. The check will be in the mail. And
great.
Now that we have the tweets out of the way, I think it's time to move on to our Hot Pockets for today.
Hot Pockets.
All right, I'll start us off. The Packers have been in this situation before, right, and recovered to make the playoffs multiple times. There was the Come to Jesus meeting that turned the season around. There was and then there was run the table. In all cases, Rodgers led the way to a complete season turnaround. But you have to ask, why are we going through this so often? Why can't the Packers play to their abilities right out of the gate, or at least show some semblance of consistency? It's a question for Mike McCarthy, but unfortunately, he won't tell you because the answer to the question is Mike McCarthy. And that is my
Hot Pocket.
Kelly,
okay, I have a very similar Hot Pocket. Have the wheels finally come off the bus? No, really, have they? One mistake and the team seems to absolutely fall apart. Last week, it happened. This week, it was Aaron Jones' fumble. It didn't seem like an insurmountable mistake because there was still time to recover, but the team completely fell apart after that. Last week, it was the safety. We were doing fine. Hit the safety, team completely falls apart. Where's the guidance when panic sets? You know, what turns a hiccup into completely coming apart at the seams? Isn't that the coach's responsibility? You know, then in response, we get these boilerplate responses like, oh, we're just one play away from being a one-loss team. Well, you know what? That's great. You know, something to say, but in reality, we're lost a bunch of game team. And a tie. Yay. You know, we're starting to, yeah, we could be that one-loss team, but we're in reality, we're staring up at the from the bottom of the NFC North. So enough empty platitudes. It's time to stop acting like wishes were horses, because at this point, no one's going to ride for free. And I think it's really time for the coaches to really walk their talk. I'm sick of the talk. Let's see some action. And that is my
Hot Pocket.
Okay, and not wanting to miss out on the fun, CD recorded his own Hot Pocket for your listening pleasure. So here it is.
All right, thanks, guys. Tonight I want to talk about Brian Gutekunst, and mainly about what Brian Gutekunst cannot do. Now, there's a lot of things he can do. He can have a pretty good draft. He is brave enough to trade away some players for draft picks. But one thing he cannot do, and we found this out about 6 months ago when he was hired, kind of a quiet little blurb, is that he doesn't have the ability to fire the head coach. This is really unusual for a GM, because typically a GM has control over the product that is being put on the field. This includes players and coaches. It's unusual for a GM to not have that control, but right now Mike McCarthy can only have his job security threatened by one Mark Murphy, president of the Packers. Now, I don't know what type of incriminating photos Mike McCarthy has on Mark Murphy, but it's something that's probably pretty good, because we really haven't felt anything from the Packers organization that his job is in danger. Nor was it in danger earlier in the 2010s, nor was it in danger in 2008. Always seems like people get fired around him, but never himself. Now, Brian Gutekunst is doing what he needs to do. He's focusing on the roster, and trust me, there's no fear that he has in having some pretty cool trades during a draft or trading away players if need be. He is making this roster into his own image, and I'm pretty cool with that. But when it comes to Mike McCarthy, it's pretty clear after the Patriots game, his time in Green Bay may be coming to an end, or at least it should be. Will it? Will Mark Murphy actually fire him? Will the Cleveland Browns make a bid for him and he'll leave on his own? Who knows? But what makes it difficult right now is that the person who should have the power to make this decision does not. And it's going to get even more hairy before the end of the year. And that is my
Hot Pocket.
Llamas. The pictures have to be llamas or something.
All right. I think it is now time for our Packer game predictions.
Cheesehead Radio, Packers game predictions.
All right, I guess I'll step up to the podium first. Not sure why, but I'm picking the Packers to win 24-19. Again, I'm really not sure why. Hopefully the Dolphins come into Lambeau Field and lay an egg and the Packers get back on track. Not very exciting or analytical, I know, but that's where I'm at. Kelly?
Yeah, well, I originally put my score in just to be the opposite of CD. CD originally had Dolphins 24, Packers 21. So just to be contrary, and I don't know why, we're due for a win. I don't know if we're going to get it. But I have Packers 24, Dolphins 21. So we have very similar scores again. Wow, yeah. Jason's really quick at kicking us out of here.
He can't wait to go home.
Well, you know, I was on No Huddle Radio for so long, and we used to run that on our two-minute drill, and it's been a while since I've gotten to play with that one, so I went a little early there. I jumped the gun.
He was like, get out, people.
If in general, Jason, thanks for sitting in tonight and running all the stings. They're very important to CD that we have stings, so he'll be very pleased. Kelly, take us out.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio in our ninth season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can explore several unique Packer podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packers Talk iTunes and you'll find it. Be sure to subscribe and please leave us a review if you can. You can also listen to us by using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcatching app and search for Packers Talk. Finally, please be sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's a wrap. Hopefully we play better next week. And go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go. Good night, all.
Good night.
Head Radio.